The song Oklahoma Hills, which is the official state folk song of Oklahoma, was written by Woody Guthrie. Can you comment on that, the background of it, what you know about it?
It really comes from the early days when he's in Los Angeles with his radio show on KFBD. His first show was with his cousin, who was living in Los Angeles at the time, and he was also a musician. He had a little radio show. His name was Oklahoma Jack Guthrie. His real name was Leon, but his stage name was Oklahoma Jack Guthrie. When Woody first came to Los Angeles, he duetted with Oklahoma Jack Guthrie on his radio show, and they were also very, very popular. They were two young guys. They were in their early 20s. They were both talented and funny. They brought that oaky rye humor and wit to their show. Woody had a songbook. He kept a little loose leaf notebook, 3-ring binder, and he would write down songs as he wrote them. They sang that song on their show. When Woody left California to come to New York, he left the songbook with his cousin, who at that time had stopped his radio show and was becoming a real recording artist, and made an album. Woody didn't know about it until 5, 6, 7 years later. He was in New York with my mom, and they heard Oklahoma Hills on the radio. Woody said, "That's my song. Oh, my God. How'd they get that?" Turns out he had left the songbook with his cousin, and his cousin recorded it and had a big hit with it. So that's why you know of this, probably why it's a state folk song, is because his cousin made a hit out of it, not Woody. His cousin also got sick shortly after that, and in order to allow him to keep the royalties on the recording, Woody put it in his cousin's name so his family would receive the royalties.
Wow.
But Woody wrote it. I mean, everybody knows now that Woody wrote it, but for a while, they were both listed as co-writers. When Woody heard it on the radio and he got in touch with his cousin and he heard that they were having some tough times and some illnesses, etc., Woody said, "All right, well, we'll just keep it that way. Your family will get the royalties."
There was no anger that you've gone ahead and recorded this and I didn't know it.
Oh, I think there probably was immediately. First, there was surprise and probably pride. Like, wow, that's cool. Somebody recorded it, my cousin. Like I said, he was a pretty well-known recording star, and he was the one that made the hit of it, not Woody. So he deserves his piece.
"Way down yonder in the Indian Nation, I rode my pony on the reservation." How many singers sang that song? Gene Autry, Chet Atkins, all these people. There's a whole list of them.
So you were asking before, did Woody have money in the end? No, Jack did. His cousin did. I mean, all those recordings, those
Everybody
royalties
else.
Goes to his family. Yeah, there's not a lot of people that really have hit tunes with songs like Pastures of Plenty or Roll on Columbia. You know, we talked a little bit about his career in radio, that he got money as a performer. But the first money he got as a songwriter was in the 1950s. The first hit singles folk group was the Weavers. The Weavers predated Peter, Paul, and Mary. Peter, Paul, and Mary got everything from the Weavers. The Weavers were Pete Seeger, Lee Hayes, Ronnie Gilbert, and Fred Hellerman. They were actually on the Billboard charts. Number one hit song with Lead Belly's "Goodnight Irene" in 1950. Then on the B-side, another hit song, number one Billboard charts. Now we're talking money. This is Billboard. The other side was Saina Tseina. Yeah. After the first two hits, they decided to go for it again. And the third song they recorded was "So Long, It's Been Good to Know You," Woody's song. At that point, he got a large royalty check for the song. As a songwriter, that was the first payment he ever received as a songwriter. He had his family in Pampa at the time, and he also had a family in New York at the time. He had already divorced Mary, but he had Mary and the children. He sent half the payment to Mary, and he gave the other half of the payment to my mom. That's the money she used to open her dancing school in Brooklyn, New York, which she had for 35 years, and that's how she supported the family. So I want to say he personally never took a penny of that. He gave half to his first family and half to his second. you had talked about earlier, that Mermaid Avenue apartment we had, which was a one-bedroom apartment on Mermaid Avenue in Coney Island. I think the rent there was $39 a month. Three kids in the bedroom and a fold-out couch in the living room, which was also dining room and kitchen. So we were really squashed in that apartment. And the recording, So Long, It's Been Good to Know You, we were able to move a couple of blocks away to a two-bedroom apartment. So the kids had one bedroom, my parents had one bedroom, and there was a living room where Jack Elliott came and stayed. We were crowded there, too, but that was doable.
And you were how old about that time?
Oh, I was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A funny thing I found out when I was looking through my dad's papers and unpacking the boxes, the second apartment we moved into that I just told you about, the two-bedroom, it was $120 a month, which was a big jump from $35 a month. Also, the building was owned and managed by the Trump family, Donald's father, Fred Trump, who was a big real estate guy. So one of the cute things we have in the archives is the original lease that Woody Guthrie signed with Fred Trump.
That's great.
Little piece of New York history there. Yeah.